We're going to be in the book of Matthew. We're going to look at several different things here. Someone said there is no unbelief. Whoever plants a seed and waits to see it push away the clod, he trusts in God. Now, of course, there is unbelief in the sense of disbelief in God and that sort of thing. But I understand what this person is saying, that even just the ordinary things in life we just take for granted, you know, that are going to happen the way they happen. The sun's going to come up and that sort of thing. Like, we believe that. We believe that God is in control and that faith is at the heart of our existence as people. And so even people who don't believe in God or Jesus Christ nevertheless believe, and without even really understanding. So what I want to talk about is, O ye of little faith. And little faith is the key. We want to look at the little faith passages that we find in the Bible. But I want to say this first, and I want this to be what is just seared into your mind. And that is, even little faith is faith. Even little faith is faith. And faith is what it takes to please God. Faith caused Abraham, according to Hebrews chapter 11, to be counted as righteous. He was called to leave his home and go to a place where God would lead him. He didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God. Enoch, we're also told in Hebrews chapter 11, pleased God by faith, and God took him to heaven. He wasn't found, the scripture says in the book of Genesis. He didn't die. God just took him home because of his great faith and how he pleased God. And Noah, the book of Hebrews also tells us, built an ark because he was warned about things that he had not seen. And I think maybe that has to do with, someone says, well, rain. It could be rain. Yeah, maybe it never rained on the early world before the flood. It was just maybe mist came from the garden, as we find in the book of Genesis. Or there was a great, maybe the idea of the world flooding was something that he had not seen, so surely that. But the Bible says, by faith, he, that's Noah, became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. And so, faith is faith, and even little faith is faith. You don't just have, if you have little faith, only 10% of faith, as if that it's really incomplete and there's more to it. But if you have faith, even little faith, it's faith. Faith is faith. Of course, we want to grow in it. That's the whole point. Not here to say, and Jesus, when he used the term little faith, wasn't encouraging just stay where you are. It was to prod the disciples and others to grow in faith. And so growing in faith is really what it's all about. And that's why we as God's people come together like we do. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we pray. That's why we apply things in our lives that we see around us to the invisible world and God and in our belief in God. No scripture ever condemns people. And the Lord doesn't condemn people for having little faith. When he says, O you of little faith, O ye of little faith, as we have in our old translations, he's, of course, encouraging them, has some disappointment. Little faith isn't what he wants to see. He wants them to grow. But faith gives us, as we grow, and what we want to do is grow in such a way that we have that maturity in Christ. Scripture talks about being mature. Hebrews chapter 5 at the end and into chapter 6 talks about that, growing in your knowledge and growing in your faith. But faith gives us more boldness in Christ. It gives us more confidence. It causes us a greater assurance. We sing that song, Blessed Assurance, you know, Jesus is mine. That's what we have, is we have this assurance. I am sure. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about that. We know these things that were created. We're created from the invisible to the visible. And we know that because the Bible teaches us that, but we know it by faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when we talk about little faith, I just want to share this with you, that Jesus actually coined a word here. Paul does that a few times in some of his writings, but Jesus did that here in using this term little faith. He combined two words into one word. It wasn't separate like little faith. It's more like little faith altogether, you know. And he crowded these two words together. The first one is oligo, O-L-I-G-O, oligo. We've heard of an oligarchy. Oligarchy means few leading people, a few leaders leading a nation, for example. The Soviet Union was known as an oligarchy, and that's the word ole there. It means small or little or even scanty or scant. But he combines it with the word pistoi, and the word pistoi is the word faith, pistos actually, but it's plural with some other things going on with the O-I at the end. And so the word is oligopistoi, all one word, oligopistoi. O ye of oligopistoi, of little faith. And he says it several times in the Word of God, and I want to say again, listen, faith is faith. Faith is faith. Whether it's little faith or great faith, whether it's oligo faith or it's mega faith, faith is faith. There's no such thing as partial faith. If you believe, you believe. And so when Jesus says, "O ye of little faith," he's not saying they don't have faith. He's saying that they have it at a lower level. A little disappointment there, a little encouragement to get more. There are several places in the Gospel of Matthew, which is why I want you to go to Matthew, where Jesus points out a little faith. He calls people little faith. He says, "O ye of little faith." And so what I want to do is spend a little time on each one of these. There's five of them, so we'll have to move through somewhat quickly. We're going to look at the causes and why that faith is little, and then how to grow beyond it, and just kind of a fairly quickly. The first one is Matthew chapter 8. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 8, if you like to read along, you'll have a little piece of it up here on the PowerPoint if you don't have your Bibles, so you can look at that. But this is a great little story. The scripture says, then he got up into the boat and the disciples followed him, and suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves were swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And he replied, "O ye of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And I love verse 27, because had we been there, we would be one of these. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this?" A little clue there now to the idea of faith. What kind of man is this? We can trust God. We can trust Jesus because of who he is. And he steals the sea, and they are just amazed. And they're blown away, we used to say when we were growing up. The idea of faith and of Jesus doing these things. And so little faith is something that has to do with having too much fear. That's part of it. See, he asks them, "Why are you so afraid?" And so their little faith indicates and is indicated by the fact that Jesus saw that they were afraid. Of course they were. I mean, the sea is going crazy, and they're in this little boat, and it's rocking all over the place, and there's all kinds of danger that it's going to be swamped out in the middle of the ocean, well, the sea, and they're afraid, of course, to die. And who wouldn't be in that particular case? I think we all would. And so what the one thing that we need, therefore, since we have little faith because of the fear that we have sometimes about things in our lives and about our safety even, you know, we're fearful of those kinds of things, is we just need more trust. But word faith means I believe, I trust, I do. Those three things put together. I believe, It's just a concept that this is true. But then I trust, because it's true, I trust. And because I trust, then I do. I obey what God has to say. And so that's where Jesus uses this term, O little faith, here in Matthew chapter 8. And he tells them it's because they're afraid. And he gets up and he rebukes the winds and the waves and everything calms down. Jesus is capable of doing that in our lives and helping us throughout our lives. And many times we're fearful of things. And Jesus would say to us, you need to work on your faith. You need to grow a little more in your faith and trust me more. Now, Matthew 14 is the next one. If you have your Bibles, flip over to Matthew 14. It's another water story. It's the one that we're all familiar with. We love this old guy because he's one of the one of our favorite apostles, I'll bet. He is mine, one of them. He says in verse 22, that is the writer Matthew, in verse 22 of chapter 14, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, so here they go again, and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, and he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. So picture them all alone, out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is up on a mountainside, and he can look down, and he could see them. Later that night, he was there alone, verse 23, and then verse 24, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them and walking on the lake. So here's the walking on water story. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. I don't know where he got that idea, but he did, and we're glad he did, because he got out. Jesus said, come, and he got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. So here he says again, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So here's another reason that we have little faith. It's not only do we fear things in life, And instead of trusting God completely in those things, that no matter what happens to us, we're in God's hands. Like taking off in an airplane and realizing this thing could crash any second and I could die. But kind of like Alfred E. Newman, you just say, well, what me worry? You know, if you're safe with God, whether you live or die, you're safe with God and you're going to be with God forever. So don't be afraid. But here now, he says, why do you doubt? So I imagine in Peter's mind would have been what was in our mind. We're walking on the waves and wow, this is really crazy. I just wait till I get back home and tell all my friends, you know, that I'm out here walking on the waves. But then all of a sudden he realizes, wait a minute, I'm walking on water, you know, and I'm not supposed to be able to do that. And so he began to have doubts in himself and really in Jesus. He began to doubt Jesus, that he was able to hold him up, and he began to sink. And so Jesus calls him, oh, you of little faith. What we need, based on this, the opposite of doubt, is confidence. We need confidence in Jesus. Just as we need more trust in Jesus to get rid of our fears, the doubts that we have about our lives and Jesus helping us in our lives also can be countered by just working more on growing in our confidence. You remember, we want to go from little faith to more faith and really to great faith. And there's something we'll say about that down the line if we remember it about that. But faith, Bible says in Hebrews 11, is the confidence of what we hope for. That's powerful. The definition of faith is that it is the confidence of what we hope for. That's faith. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Peter was walking, sort of walking, by sight. He started out walking by faith, but the more he saw, the wind and the waves, the more he began to sink. And that's us too sometimes. We're not walking by faith when we're walking by sight. And we ought to give our some attention to that. There are a lot of things that we don't fully understand about this life and about the way things are that we need to work on. Let me read some scriptures here, 23 through 25 of Romans chapter 8. This just came to mind this week. I was looking at this. Paul writes in verse 22, this is Romans 8, if you like taking notes, verse 22 and following. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. We're living in physical bodies and we know that we can't last in these physical bodies. And so there's this longing that all of us have, whether you really voice it to yourself or not, this idea of the redemption of your body and eager for the adoption and of us. Verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what we already have? And I would say who hopes for what we can see? I mean, if you're driving up to your grandma's house because when you were a kid you were looking forward to Thanksgiving, you just hoped and hoped and hoped you went, and you're seeing yourself there, the hope's gone. You don't need to hope anymore. But hope that is seen is not hope. We have hope in God. We have faith in God when we be able to look beyond what we see. And then, of course, he says here, we wait for it patiently. That is, we wait for what we're looking forward to in our future. Well, here's another one. It's Matthew chapter 6. Again, one that you're very familiar with. It's a Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is going to be talking to us about anxiety and worry in life. So we've covered fear, and we've covered doubt, and now we have this idea here that Jesus talks about worrying. Therefore, he says, I tell you, this is verse 25 of chapter 6, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. Do they sow or reap or store away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I love that last part. We all do. Seek the kingdom and don't worry about these physical things, what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. God will take care of you. He knows that you need these things. Just focus on God's kingdom. That's how we grow in faith. Worry is the problem, but what we need is to have assurance that God is with us, that God cares about us. John tells us in 1 John 5:13, at the end of his writing, 1 John, that I write these things that you might know that you have eternal life. And that's the faith that becomes knowledge. I write these things that you might know that you have eternal life. Instead of worrying about physical things in life and stuff, just trust in God and know that whatever happens, we're going to be out. And we sing that song, of course, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. And I love that song. Matthew 16, for time, let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Another one, it's number 4. This one, to me, is kind of a cute one. It's kind of like the wackadoo, wackadoo song, in the sense that the apostles have just the way they acted is kind of silly. Verse 5, when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Now, that's pretty bad. They forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so they discussed this among themselves. And they said, is it because we didn't bring any bread? Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gather, or the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? See, it's not about the bread, physical bread. How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. That's what I'm talking about. When he says the yeast of the Pharisees, that they thought he must have meant bread. No, no, he was talking about their teachings. And so then they understood, verse 12, that he was not telling them about to guard them against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so again, little faith sometimes is just, we're being slow to understand. We're slow sometimes to understand spiritual truths. I think this is one of the needs of the hours in our time today, because there's so many things that are being thrown at us from the secular society that some Christians with little faith, not no faith, but little faith, kind of buy into and need to begin to work more on their understanding of what's true and what's not true. These guys missed the boat on what Jesus was talking about. They just failed to understand. And it's possible sometimes when we read the Bible that we don't fully understand everything. Nothing wrong with that. But we don't want to stay there. We want to grow. And as the Bible says, Peter's last words as he signs off 2 Peter, but grow. You remember what he said? In the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to grow. And we're to grow in our understanding. In fact, the word understand or understood 3 times in this little story. And so the idea of understanding, little faith, is being slow to understand. And the way to get over that is to try to understand better, to study, to learn. Someone said there's 2 types of faith. There's faith that, and then there's faith in. There's faith that God created the world, for example. There's faith that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary in the little town of Bethlehem. There's faith that Jesus died on the cross. There's faith that God raised Jesus from the dead. Those are the that faiths. We believe that those things happen. But then there's faith in. There's the faith in God. There's a faith in Jesus Christ. And that particular faith is also the faith that we need to understand more and develop more, that who God is and know Him more and love Him more. You know, we just finished with a series. We talked about God's love and His mercy and His grace. To understand that and have faith in God, that's the kind of God that we serve. And aren't you glad that it is? I mean, that is our God that we serve. Now, here's the last one, and that's Matthew chapter 17. And we'll close out. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. So you can almost hear Jesus sighing. You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. The disciples came to Jesus in private. Hey, time out for just a minute. Let me tell you, There's only 9 disciples that made this mistake. The other 3 were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, if you look back at the beginning of 17. So Peter, James, and John weren't there. Doesn't mean they're off the hook, but it just means that there were only 9 of those disciples. They come to Jesus and said, why couldn't we drive it out? And here's what Jesus said, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now that's powerful. And if you think about it, the mustard seed, Jesus says in another place, he talks about mustard seeds, is really the smallest at that time in that place. Somebody will ridicule that and say there's smaller seeds than the mustard seed, but Jesus was talking to a people that they knew that in their area that was the smallest seed. And yet if you just have the faith of the smallest seed, if you just have small faith, it can do amazing things. Say to the mountain, cast itself into the sea, and it will do. Another place, if you'd say to a mulberry bush, be uprooted and cast itself in the sea, then it'll do it. That's the power of even a tiny faith. And so having little faith is good, but they needed to at least try to get toward the mustard seed, which is even small too. None of us have mustard seed faith. We have very small faith anyway, but within that, from whatever is the very smallest faith to the mustard seed faith, there's got to be some areas in there where we can grow in our faith. And so the Bible tells us, let's grow. Let's have some impossibility thinking about God. I mean, that God can do things. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things. Period. Right? I can do all things. No, he didn't say that, right? I can do all things through Christ, who lifts me up, who makes me strong, who strengthens me. And then I found this, I thought it was just wonderful, Psalm 18:28-29, and we're almost finished. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness to light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. That's the kind of faith we're talking about, that we can do things with God, and we can do great things with God. So let me just close by reminding you that faith is, fill in the blank, faith. Faith is faith. Little faith isn't some percentage of faith, it's faith. But what Jesus wants is for us to grow in our faith. That's why he told the ones, whatever, they failed in the different ways that they did. They had some doubt, they had some fear, they didn't understand. He wanted them to grow, and so he called them those of little faith. But even little faith is a good thing to have, but let's grow in it. Let's want to grow in our faith and do what we can to grow. Amen? Let's close with a word of prayer. We'll stand and sing an invitation song, and then we'll be dismissed in just a sec. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all these examples where Jesus confronted people with little faith. It helps us because we know sometimes we would be right there with them. We would probably sink in the waves like Peter. We probably would wake him up in the boat when the storm was about to swamp the boat. Now, we also look at things in life, and we worry about our clothing, and we worry about different things in life. There's some physical things, and we wring our hands over those things, and we just really need to focus on your kingdom. Bless us as we try to grow, as we continue to grow, and Father, be with us in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.